You know, I wrote down, it's always great to be able to win and learn, right? And as you look at Saturday, we were able to do that. We were able to win, and there's a lot of teaching plays that we'll be able to go over with our guys today. And as I told them, it's not victory that you're chasing. It's continuously trying to reach your full potential. And that's what we have to continue to understand, is like, what do we have to do to continue to reach our full potential as a group? It wasn't perfect. We know that. You guys watched the game. But it was really good to see us come into the locker room with a 7-point lead and then have the ability to go out there and finish the game 41-17 and give up 3 points in the second half. And the second half wasn't perfect, but to finish the game to our standard and to finish the way we did, I was extremely proud of those guys. Defensively, you know, we did a really good job on third down. I think there were 3 of 13. And then, again, pass defense, they did a really good job, you know, and what we're doing, what we're being able to do in our pass defense is I told Coach Golden, and it's been really good. We got to improve tackling. We know that. You can't miss tackles. And, you know, any penalty can hurt our team, right? We got to eliminate the penalties. Offensively, ran the ball really well, which opened up some things in the pass game and took some shots and had some big explosive plays. And so that was really good to see. Again, you look at the two, I think we had 3 holding penalties on offense, and we know we can't do that, right? We know that's going to be drive killer. So we have to play with better technique and make sure that those things don't happen. And then special teams, the ability to have a 45-yard net is huge. You talk about the battle of field possession, and 2 for 3 of field goals, and Spence made another one from 50. So, again, those are all positives. And so the players of the game on offense was Audric Estime. Defense was Jack Kaiser. And then special teams was Devin Ford. And scout players of the week were on offense Joe Otting, and for the first time we had the same guy win the defense and special teams player of the week, and that was Micah Bell. And I have to give a special shout out to Obi from Dunn Hall. I mean, that was he gets the fan of the game. That was pretty cool to just see. You know, at first I didn't know what was going on, and then the crowd's cheering. I look up on the video board and see him, and that was pretty cool, man. So turning the page. Obviously, we have a great opponent coming in. We're excited about, you know, the chance to go against a top-tier opponent for sure. And we're excited about just the atmosphere, the experience that's going to be here with College Game Day and the Pat McAfee Show and you know, NBC. And, you know, we get to finally wear the green uniform. So they talked me into wearing a green jacket today. And so I said I'll wear it. And so we expect to see a lot of green in that stadium, and I think it's going to be a really cool opportunity, a great opportunity on Saturday night to, you know, play a great opponent in Notre Dame Stadium. So, you know, we got to continue to focus on what it will take to have success on Saturday, and that's having a great Monday and making sure that we really focus on improving today and really staying focused on the present. And so and you know, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, Ryan Day again. He's done an unbelievable job leading that program. You know, I've told him every time I talk to him that, you know, he has just done a tremendous job of, you know, really leading that program. So we know it's going to be a really good opponent with a great coaching staff, and we're looking forward to that. So with that, I'll open up for questions.
We'll start in the back on the platform with Matt Locke.
Hey, Coach, the last time you played Ohio State, it was your head coaching debut, your return to the Horseshoe, primetime, entire offseason of hype. How much different is it for you this time around, considering you had 4 games that you had to focus on before you even thought about Ohio State?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different factors go into the differences, but experience, right? You have a year under your belt. It's not the first game of the year. You know, you've been able to develop an identity as a program with these first 4 games. And so it's a lot different than what it was last year, being the first game of, you know, that season for me in the first game of the year.
And with your good news that you got, how did you find out? I think most of us saw the tweet from him. Did you get a FaceTime? Did you have to wait for everybody else?
Yeah.
All right, we'll go to second row on your right, middle, Chuck Freebie.
I do not have a good news question. I have a bad news question, and that is the tackling and the penalties What do you do this week to improve in those areas? You mentioned a focus on technique. What kind of practice drills or what kinds of things do you do as a coaching staff to change that?
You know, I think we've worked tremendous on tackling, and there's an element of safety that you can't tackle live in practice. You can do drills, and we'll do drills. You know, the reality is we missed, I think, three tackles on the one drive that they scored a touchdown. Really, for the rest of the game, they did a good job. I think we had one or two missed tackles after that. But the three missed tackles on the one drive that leads to a touchdown is what you can't have, you know. And they're good too, right? You're going to miss tackles. That's part of the game of football. But you have to continue to show them how to improve at that and really work on it in practice, right, without going live. And then as far as the penalties, right, again, as I said after the game, is it a selfish penalty or is it a fundamental penalty, right? And you know, Riley's penalty can't happen. He's got to be smart. He is. He knew right after he did it he was smart enough. But, you know, Josh Burnham, he's turning run to the ball. He was like, Coach, I was just turning run to the ball, and I didn't know that was the quarterback. I just hit whoever I saw, you know, and I'm running to the ball. The holdings on offense have to – those are fundamentals that we got to keep working. We have bad technique that can lead to a penalty, you know. And so we just have to continue to keep working on the fundamentals and playing with good technique, and that should eliminate some of those penalties.
And with all of his experience, Sam has never played in a game with this kind of hype. How do you guide him through this week, since at least you've coached in a couple of them?
You guys are going to spend some time with him, but I think in his mind he has played in games like this. He's played in some big games at Wake Forest, and this moment won't be too big for Sam. You know, year six for him. I have a lot of confidence that he'll be well-prepared, and the moment won't be too big for him at all.
Down in front on the right, John Bryce.
Hey, Marcus, you spoke Saturday about the drift, and that's sort of a continuing theme for you over the course of this season. And you talked about keeping the players locked in. What about for you personally and maybe the coaches? How do you guys embrace not falling to the drift?
Yeah, I think it's the same thing for you and for everybody else in this room. We all – it's human element to think about the future, think about the past, right? That's what's natural, right? But that doesn't help you do your job. It doesn't help me do my job, right? It helps me prepare. As you look at the future and what we have upcoming, but in order to make sure you accomplish the task, you're most prepared for whatever you have upcoming, you got to stay in the moment. And you have to prepare and win these moments. Because if you're not present, then you're wasting time. You're if you're mentally not here, you're physically not here, right? And so that's a challenge for every individual in our program. I think that's a great challenge for everybody in life, is that do not think too far into the past, too far into the future, because you have to make sure you take care of what's going on right now.
Do you have any tactics that you lean on in that regard? And then also your commitment to special teams. Several guys have talked about you still have fifth and sixth year seniors starting on some special teams. And it's just how important is that? What kind of message does it send roster wide?
Yeah, it's for me, you know, to catch yourself. The tactic is to catch yourself drifting, right? And when you're not in the present, if you can catch yourself not in the moment and get yourself refocused, that's the most important thing. And that's what I try to do. As far as special teams, it's so important, right? And I make sure our whole entire program understands how important it is. We will put our best players on special teams. I want every person in our program to understand that, you know. And so that best player might not be a starter, right? We see Luke Talich out there, and you see some other guys doing some really good things, but the best players on our team will be on special teams.
Third row on your left, Tim Priester.
It seems that every time you play a home game, you're not exactly sure who you're going to get at quarterback with Tennessee State and Central Michigan. But I would imagine McCord starts, but Brown has played. What are you considering with those two styles of quarterbacks, in addition to playing against a first-time offensive coordinator?
Yeah, you know, you've seen their offense kind of evolve over the first three games, and it's explosive. You see a lot of tempo. You know, I think I've seen more tempo recently, but they have playmakers. They can run the ball. They got a stable of running backs. That truly can do some things in a run game. As far as the quarterback, you know, we plan on seeing McCord, right? We think he's named the starter, and that's who we plan on seeing. But you have to have a plan, You know, you have to have a plan for anybody you might see. Same thing that happened last Saturday. So, you know, I still think their offense is very similar no matter who's at quarterback. You know, and so we'll have a plan for both guys, but it's really not going to change based off who's in at the game.
Is it similar no matter who the coordinator is?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm sure Coach Day is extremely involved with their offense, you know, and Hartline's done a great job. And so, they find ways to be innovative, right? You can look at as far back as since Ryan Day's been at Ohio State till now, it's a very innovative offense that will find different ways to get their playmakers the ball. And to me, it all starts with the run game, right? They want to run the ball. And very similar mindset that I have, right, is the ability to run the ball will create openings in the pass game, and that's what I've seen on film.
Everybody hears a lot of great things about their defensive end, number 44. Could you describe him and just the defensive line in general at Ohio State on a yearly basis?
It's impressive. They got guys, and it's deep, and they rotate a lot of guys in there. And so 44 is an impressive football player. He's big, he's powerful, explosive. All those big words that you like to say about your D lineman, he's got a lot of those traits. But they got a bunch of guys that are really disruptive. So we have to be good up front. We got to make sure we're good at the line of scrimmage.
Front row, far right, Eric Hansen.
Hey, Coach. I'm going to ask you about
injuries,
injury status, and I'll go through them one at a time.
How's that?
Okay, J.D. Bertrand with a concussion.
He'll be back.
Okay, Mitchell Evans.
He's a little behind J.D., but I expect him back by Saturday.
D.J. Brown.
He'll be back.
Eli Reardon.
No, not yet.
Gabe Rubio.
He will start practicing Tuesday, so expect him, if as all goes well this week, to be able to go on Saturday.
Okay, and then I also, you know, from the Ohio State game the first time, not from the hype standpoint, but from your cornerback standpoint, that was a really interesting from where they were in that game to where they are now. What do you think that they got from that experience, especially Ben Morrison and Mickey and those guys? And I also wondered if there's room on the D-line rotation for Obi.
Shoot, there might be a place for him because he provides a lot of energy, for sure. But, you know, you look back to that game and the playmakers Ohio State has at wideout, a lot of them are back, you know. And so that was a way for our guys in the first game of the year to measure themselves versus some of the best in the country. And so to where they are now, they've continued to grow and get better and better because of experience, because of the opportunity to continue to practice and to continue to build skill. And that's something that we have to continue to do, and it will never stop.
Front row on your left, Jack Sobel.
Marcus, everyone talks about Harrison and Abuka. What makes those two in combination so hard to defend?
They're good players, man. You just got to turn on the film. I mean, Harrison's body type, skill set, he's fast. He can go up and get the ball. He's a great route runner, great hand, well coached. I mean, Hartline's done a great job of developing that wideout room. You know, year after year, they got first rounders. And Bouquet's the same way. You know, he's, again, a playmaker, more utilized in the slot, dangerous returner, you know, so. I go on and on, man. Those guys are good football players.
And then up front, you said after the Central Michigan game, you need to watch the film to kind of evaluate the pass rush. What did you see there, and how important is it going to be to get pressure with the front four this week?
Yeah, it's listen, like, I knew somebody was going to ask me about it. Like, sacks, everybody keeps talking about sacks. I told Coach Golden, man, we're number one in the country in pass efficiency defense. And so that's the stat I'm worried about. I'm not worried about sacks. The pressure that we're getting is great. Like, sacks will come. And I don't want our players overly concerned about sacks because that's an individual, truly individual stat. That really doesn't matter. Like, I want to be number one in pass efficiency defense. I don't know who's number one in sacks, but I want to be number one in pass efficiency defense. That's a great stat. And so they've been working. They've been doing really well. And, you know, sacks are a result of a lot of different things, you know. But I was really happy with the way our defense performed in the pass game. you know, to limit that offense to what we did. It was really, really good. Pleased to see.
Staying in the front row on your right, Pete Sampson.
The game last year defensively, you guys did a good job playing sort of top down, but some of that also factored into how slow you played offensively. So I was interested, like, does a complementary part of that change a little bit? But also, like, what can you take away from the defensive success last year that may have still applied?
Yeah, you know, I thought Coach Golden and the defensive staff had a great game plan last year and really did a good job of executing it, you know, for the first game of the year, trying to figure out who we were defensively. Yeah, and part of that, the mindset going in that game was try to control the ball as long as we could, right, limit their offensive possessions. You know, and again, it's still got to be complementary football as we go into this Saturday, but I don't want to play not to lose, right? I don't want to play that way. I want our guys to be aggressive and our guys to be attacking. And so we will play complementary football, but our objective isn't just to hold the ball and huddle every single play, kind of what my mindset probably was last year.
You weren't here for the Georgia game in 17, certainly not for the Nebraska game in 2000, mm-hmm. But you were here for Cincinnati when there was a lot of red in the stadium. But how much does that actually matter? I mean, you see it probably pregame, not at all in-game, yeah. But just in terms of the optics of it, you know, what it says sort of about the program.
Yeah, we want to see a lot of green in here. That's the cool thing about Saturday is we got green jerseys, and I don't know if they're calling it a green out, but we want to see a lot of green. And I think our players notice it and appreciate that, especially pregame, as you just said. We want to make sure there's as many Notre Dame fans as we can. And I think they're doing some cool things for the fan experience. And so I encourage our fans, man, make sure that you guys are here and let's get as much green in this stadium as we can.
Down in front on the left, Tyler Horka.
Marcus, kind of want to dive into more of what Pete was asking, but specifically from the offensive perspective. You kind of just admitted that it was, we want to take the ball away from Ohio State. How much different is that this year, you wanting the ball in your own offense's hands? And is that A, obviously Sam Hartman, but B, like, what else goes into that where you think that you can go out and just play your game and win this game?
Yeah, I think going into last season, you had some questions on really what was our identity. This is game one, right? What was our identity on offense? Similar to this year, game one, you don't know until you face an opponent. But we know what we can do offensively after four games, and we're not going to go rapid speed now. I don't want to go up tempo and go as fast as we can. And, you know, it's complementary football. And so the ability for our defense, what we want to do is make sure that, you know, we limit the big plays, right? We want them to have to truly drive down the field, and we limit those big plays. And offensively, we want to have success. And we're not going to go, again, throw deep balls every play. Like, it's complementary football, and we still want to win time of possession and those type of things that really factor into your success. But the mindset is different because you know more about your team this year than you did last year for game one.
And then Jack asked you about Ohio State's wide receivers, but I think an interesting part of this game is Ohio State has some really good defensive backs, and this is probably the best group that your wide receivers have seen. So how important is it for guys like Chris Tyree, Jaden Thomas, all these guys to get open and give Sam options?
Yeah, I'll make sure to say, like, I have a lot of confidence in our wide receivers and the work they put in. The development Coach Stuckey has done with those guys, to have young guys making plays, to have a converted running back making plays, Tobias, JT, Cozy, those guys are all playing really well. And so I'm excited for those guys to get the opportunity to go out there Saturday and compete against some really good DBs.
Third row on your right, Tim O'Malley.
Coach, two personnel questions, actually. Saturday you mentioned not looking ahead all week. I think one guy might have been Javonte Jean-Baptiste. What is your message to him this week? How do you kind of rein him in, but draw the line, not draw the line, but understand that this is a special week for him?
Yeah. You know, I can't jump into his brain and know what's going on, but my message to him will be the same thing really to everybody else is, don't worry about Saturday, worry about today. And when we get to Saturday, worrying about doing your job and winning the interval every single play. That's all that really matters. It does. Nothing else truly matters if we want to have success and if he wants to have a successful game. You have a great Monday and you stay in the moment, and then on Saturday you win the interval. And if you want to have a great outcome, that's what it's going to take, Javonte. And so the constant reminder, because, again, you're right, he was there last year, right? And he knows a lot of those guys. And so the ability to continue to remind him, this is what you need to keep telling yourself, and this is what you need to do to have success.